Well, God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We are teaching through the book of Galatians, verse by verse, in the hopes that the true gospel of God might be taught, that you might hear the true gospel of God, which Paul is emphasizing in this letter, and not another gospel, a perversion thereof that has prevailed in the family of God for 2,000 years. How's that possible? And what do you mean, the family of God? Well, Paul opens this letter by saying, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He goes on to say of Christ in the fourth verse of the first chapter, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now, what's a father? It's the head of the family. I'm using a different word today, that our relationship with God, our Father, might come to life. Paul, in a later chapter than we're going to go to today, says to these Galatians, you have many teachers, but one Father. He's talking to his family. And he's attempting to correct his children, God's children, God's sons and daughters. He's said of those who would teach another, that is, that perverted gospel, that they should be goddamned. And he goes and he gives us a little history wherein he spent 3 years in the desert in Arabia being taught, or it says, by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was taught by Jesus for 3 years. He had it dinned into him, the gospel, from the Old Testament. Wherein is hid the New Testament. And the New Testament, which reveals the Old Testament, God from the beginning of time has been revealing the good news of the gospel, of the, we get that word gospel from the German, it's Gottspiel, the good spiel, the God spiel, the God spell, if you would. Those who would be influenced by the word of God. He has to confront Peter to the face because he was being a hypocrite when it came to the gospel, fearing the Judaizers. If God did not call Paul, one born out of due time, as Paul puts it, to reveal, to save the gospel, it would have been none other than an extension of Judaism, of keeping the law. Circumcision being an outward type of the law. But we're going to talk about that as we get in to this third chapter. So let's begin. Remember, Paul is speaking as a father to his children. You know, he's not just patting him on the head, saying, okay, Johnny, that's okay. You know, we'll take care of it. No, there's a perversion taking place in his family. And Paul, throughout this whole book of Galatians, is he's putting it forward, the perversion, this add-on to the declaration that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and the Apostle Paul says, of whom I am chiefest. Well, I don't know about that. Paul never met me. Before we open this third chapter, Paul began by saying, the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father be with you. He ends the second chapter by saying, I do not frustrate, I do not disannul, I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And he opens and says, oh, foolish Galatians. You know, I attempt to expose myself to as many different translations as I can, trying to get to, or trying to give a sense of what Paul's really saying. And, I have one Bible called the 26 Translations, and it says, senseless Galatians. Senseless Galatians, another translation has it. You stupid Galatians. The New English Bible says, who has bewitched you? One translation says, who has evil-eyed you? Who has put a spell on you? A spell other than coming under the influence of the Word of God. Paul's going to straighten them out, or Paul's going to put forward the straight story. Who has put a spell on you that you should not obey the truth, that you should not be persuaded of the truth, that you should not have confidence in the truth, that you should not have faith in the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently crucified, set forth, crucified among you? He's told them in that first chapter that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, period. All of them, past, present, future. This only, what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Are ye so foolish? Are ye so stupid? Are you so idiotic? Several translations say, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Oh. In God's revelation, he tells us, flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. He is making a distinction between the two. And that spirit in us is that born again experience which comes by faith. And for faith, God gives us the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That translation needs some help. And worketh miracles among you. The Greek has it, energos dunamis ein human. In that first chapter of the book of Romans, 16th verse, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, dunamis, of God unto salvation. Paul, I'm not denying Paul worked miracles. We have that testimony in several places in the book of Acts and other places in the New Testament. But that's not what Paul is saying here. He's saying, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and energizes power in you, the power of the gospel in you, by works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Paul is a God man, and he's telling God's story. He's telling God's gospel, the good news of the gospel. Even as Abraham, and again, translation needs to be corrected. We don't have an English word for it, so as my pastor used to, he says we're going to have to add one. Even as Abraham faithed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What's he saying here? He is equating faith with righteousness. God has taken care of our shortfallen condition, sin. And there's a new accounting method wherein not works of the law, but acts of faith, which is acting on the promises of God, are counted for righteousness. The actual Hebrew in the Old Testament, Genesis 15, is that, and Abraham amened God. That is, he had no doubt what God said he would do. And God accounted it, or imputed, or put it in him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The children of the family of God. And the scripture foreseeing that God would that God would righteousify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, with amening Abraham. And even faith, like grace, is a gift of God. Now Paul is going to get back into more reasons that Jesus saves without the buts. Because he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, there's not one who ever lived save Jesus Christ, who not only did not know all the laws contained in the Pentateuch, but certainly did not keep them all. And it says, who continueth not in all. That means the entire law. Do you get it? The law does not save. Paul's going to, probably not this week. You're probably going to have to wait till next week to get a better picture of the purpose of the law. Verse 11. but that no man is justified, no, righteousified by the law in the sight of who? God, in the sight of who? Our Father. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. This wonderful verse, which birthed the Reformation, comes from the second chapter of the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, wherein God said, write this in stone, Habakkuk 2:4, King James, the just shall live by his faith. That's a Septuagint. Dr. Scott gave a translation. He was a walking lexicon, and he translates the verse this way: the righteous of me ones by the amen of him shall live. State of mind, total reliance on God. And who had that total reliance on God? It was Jesus. That's a of him. He stepped from heaven's throne, was the agent of creation, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he, as I said, stepped from heaven's throne and became kin with us to live the perfect life, that a ransom, that which was required to redeem that which was lost, and give his life, his humanness, shows in the garden. Wherein, knowing what was coming, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Father, be done. And Jesus Christ, who has been evidently set forth crucified among us, whom God raised up from the dead, to those who begin in faith, God even gives, as we have said before, as Paul said before, knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ. Am I hammering this to death? You better believe it. I hope I hammer every jot and tittle of the law that attempts to influence you into relying on your works. Oh, now I know God through Jesus Christ. Oh, now I know God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, look at what I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. we are not made perfect in the flesh, but righteousified by the faith of Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. That's a promise of God in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, 5th verse. The man that doeth them shall live, but no man, and the cemeteries around the world prove it, no man has passed through this life alive. Christ has redeemed us. He had the price from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written that everyone that hangeth on a tree, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I'd like to give you a picture of this. Christ has redeemed. That is, he had the price, the perfect life, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, better put, over us. The curse was falling. Picture the guillotine. This is our lot. Because we don't continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Therefore, the curse is falling, the guillotine, the blade is coming down, and Christ stepped in over us, and the blade fell on him. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquities. All our iniquities were laid on Christ. He paid the price. He took upon himself all the sins of the whole world. That he might as the parable says, get the treasure out of the field. And what God treasures is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For it is written, 13th verse, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Having done this, having been made a curse over us, that why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And faith, I'm going to end today again giving you the definition of faith. It is action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. It is grabbing hold of the promise of God, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And once we start this journey, we continue to be the house of God if we continue as we started. It actually, literally in the Greek, says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul has some harsh teachings for his children, those children of the family of God, trying to cause them to see the light of the gospel and to stay in it and not pervert the gospel by somehow or other thinking they are made perfect in the flesh. This perversion, which continues even today in that which is called the Church of Jesus Christ. God has chosen a family, you sons and daughters, by his grace, through his gift of faith, are his children, as ye continue in this life of faith, and even that, the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's the God School for today.